You're listening to KFI AM 640 on demand.
So the Oscars are the hubbub right now, and one movie stands out as a sci-fi, strange, interesting, fantasy, martial arts film by the name of Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. IMDb describes it as a middle-aged Chinese immigrant is swept up into this insane adventure in which she alone can save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives she could have led. Nothing new in the sci-fi genre, that is, the premise of other universes. Whatever you think of the film is left up to you. My producer Neil loved it, as did his wife. But what I want you to look at is many other recent films, especially with the Marvel Universe, have versions of this multiverse concept. Now, multiverse, or this multiple universes, come with different names and have been talked about for some time. Philosophers, even prior to Socrates, would talk about the concept of having these multiple universes. And they've been hypothesized in cosmology, astronomy, physics, religion, philosophy, in literature, particularly in science fiction and comic book fantasy. But now they're here in film. And one of the reasons is because film technology can actually produce imagery that points to this concept. You could do multiples of a single person. They can have a person looking two different ways in two different universes. They can show different outcomes. Now, prominent physicists are very divided about whether any other universes exist outside of your own. But all these movies have one thing in common. They show the different circumstances, that these different circumstances, whatever they may be, and different decisions will lead to different outcomes. Now, all of these movies, and most movies from mankind, are built on a savior concept. If they just come together or they just harness their energy, they can save some outcome, which is good. That itself, the powerful lesson from God. We just heard about the thoughts of building something. We've learned this on the program before, the strength, the importance of building things properly. And with that comes wisdom and strength. And yes, you can end up building a better home, or you can make better decisions. But when they start getting down to saving the universe or saving the world, those start pointing to the theology of salvation and the importance therein. And sometimes they will lose sight that there is one Savior, one that will save. And the importance of their decisions are really the powerful tool in this. And with those tools of making decisions and properly building wisdom, that is the exercise, that is the muscle that you should be working on. So it is Oscar season. You look at many of the movies, including one up for an Oscar.
for many Oscars, actually. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. IMDb calls it, says it's a middle-aged Chinese immigrant, is swept up into an insane adventure in which she alone can save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives she could have led. A lot of films deal with multiple universes, the multiverse with Marvel, and they're fascinating concepts. Sometimes can be quite difficult to understand how that would work. Even so, many scientists and physicists say it can't. It can't. It just can't, because there is no way to measure it or ever know. There's no way to empirically test it. So it becomes a difficult process to understand. Then it becomes philosophy, and then some say it just becomes theology. Well, this argument, notwithstanding, it has its time and its place in the halls of science and philosophy. Of course, science came from philosophy. That there is something to be learned from this concept of wanting different outcomes. I think often reincarnation or these concepts of getting a redo are attracted to people theologically in a lot of different ways. But really, they all kind of focus around a circumstance and a different decision that led them down different paths. For instance, in the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, in one life, one universe, she's a star. A star, a very famous person, and that's the one that she really likes. In the prime universe that starts the story, she works and owns a family dry cleaning laundry place. And then there are some other absurd universes she lives in as well that are part of the fun. But all of these come from different decisions, and there's even points where she wants to go back to just one. Just one. That one looks good, and you could imagine which one that might be. But with us, when you get to the point and you shuffle in the importance of faith, it's a whole different thing. With that faith comes understanding of the rules of God. With your faith, with your belief, comes an understanding of Scripture on how to make decisions, how to put yourself in the best life now, not in another universe, not in another incarnation, but now, how to set yourself up to do the best now before the ultimate glory of standing before your Maker and coming home. Scripture tells us about good decisions. All decisions should be made first to the glory of God. There are some decisions that people will call up and get frustrated about because it's easy to do that when they're neutral. The glory doesn't come because you're working at a church or charity, although those are marvelous jobs. It comes from you doing something honestly that shows your craftsmanship or your dedication whatever it might be, to glorifying God. You do it well. And therefore asking God, should I take this job? Well, if it's doing things with your hands and your heart, if it's doing them to the glory of God and working to show your love of God, and I don't mean it has to be a religious position. You could be waiting tables, but if you do it in an honest, godly way, live by the promises made, connectively, then that's a great job too. But all decisions should start and be made to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Using the will, the understanding, the importance of those things as your guide. Living in an echo chamber is not good for you. You'll never, ever get out of that. It won't help you grow a reasonable mind only listening to your own opinion. It will get you nowhere. It's one of the biggest problems in the United States right now. The separation of just being your tribe is not the way things were supposed to be. The Tower of Babel was exactly that. To separate, to grow. So that you could come together. Because just the single-mindedness was not going to help. Proverbs 18:1-24. Whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. And you see that concept of locking you in your own thought, isolating yourself, seeking your own desire, running from sound judgment, takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his opinion. These are the hang-ups that often show themselves and often put people into horrible situations. It's good to have friends, and it's good to have like-minded friends. You, of course, should have other believers in your circle. But there is this belief that you have to live on a Christian cul-de-sac with Christian families, having Christian bake sales and playing Christian games and all of these things, which is not healthy. It is really kind of a way of taking the light that you're to be to the world and kind of scurrying it away. So only the people you think should have it should have it. And it's a fear of sharing and being an example to others, to put yourself in a place where you can be the light to somebody who doesn't have it. And in that process, being that light is truly sharing it. It's not just about proselytizing. It's about being the example in which begs the question from people around you. You know, who are you? Or I notice you went through a really hard time and you dealt with it quite well. You know, how did you do that? And therein lies the 1 Peter 3:15, to be ready and willing to answer when asked about the hope that lies within you. It, of course, is Oscar season. And one of the movies that is getting a lot of buzz, as they say, is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. And this movie takes place in multiple universes with different outcomes. And this is becoming a very popular concept. Marvel is doing it, and it is something that gives different looks into what could happen in different universes. As a matter of fact, Marvel did a wonderful insight to that very thing with a series of animated movies based on the Marvel movies, but these were called What If, and the series is What If. And it really takes a look at certain things, if they would change or decisions had been changed, the outcome could be very different. And it's a fascinating look at decisions, timing, and how things come about. So I thought it was a good time to talk about decisions and how you make your decisions and how you set forth your path. It's a fun thing to think that there's a do-over somewhere, I suppose, to think that you have other options. But this is the one you are living in. This is the one you need to make the best decisions. Because there is no evidence of anything like a multiverse existing. We started with all decisions should be made to the glory of God. So says 1 Corinthians 10:31, that when you live in an echo chamber, when you isolate yourself with people of like mind, or don't get out to hear other opinions, Scripture says iron will sharpen iron, because the representation is two people coming together in dialogue to sharpen both of their views and ideas. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So where do you get that advice? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? Are there people in your life that you trust? Trust to be honest with you and give insight based on their life and things they've been through? And also, have you observed them from afar to see how their life seems to be working out for them? You know, if you're being bailed out of jail every weekend, probably not a great person to use for wisdom, unless it's what they aren't doing. Take my advice, I'm not using it type person. But mostly you want people of good character that you like to see how they manage themselves, but aren't necessarily specifically some sort of echo of you. That's a very popular thing now. People get their news from news sources that think like them. Well, news sources shouldn't think like anything. They should think that these facts are the most important thing, and we will dig to get them and present them as we find them. And that seems to go by the wayside. Arrogance is an abomination to God. Proverbs 16:1-33, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has many things to give. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished.
KFI AM 640, on demand.